Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Self-Reacquaintance podcast. Oh, my goodness. Firstly, I would just like to say thank you. Thank you all for the love. Thank you for the positive feedback that I've received. Thank you for the downloads. Thank you. Just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I know that it's also people that I don't know that have downloaded because I saw their locations, and I just want to say you are so much appreciated. Today's episode number 2, can you believe it? Time flies when you are having fun. Today's title is Decluttering the Mind. But before we get into that, let's remind ourselves quickly what self-reacquaintance is. It is a process, or at least that's how I explain it to myself. It is a process of reconnecting with yourself as well as rediscovering yourself. This involves reflecting on your emotions, values, identity, standards, and of course your boundaries. Looking at your life goals, especially after a period of self-neglect. It is a process of cultivating mindfulness and personal growth by getting a deeper insight into who you are and what you want now, currently, at this point in your life. To achieve this, you may need to first declutter, hence the topic or the title today. To declutter the mind, decluttering the mind by removing all negativity, negative thoughts, self-criticism, and all the unnecessary worries, as well as everything that doesn't align or everyone that doesn't align with who you are now. And very important to also find space to breathe, find space for yourself to just breathe. It is the same way to declutter, the same way we declutter our homes. Sometimes in our homes, we keep so many things that just take up space, but they are no longer useful to us. For example, in your wardrobe, or closet, whatever you call it, you find that there are clothes which have never been worn, or worn at least once, and you just didn't enjoy them, and you know that you'll never wear them again. You find that you have shoes that are just sitting there gathering dust, probably because they are the wrong size, they are too tight, and you didn't get the time or chance to exchange or return them, and now they're just sitting there. You know you are never going to wear them, but they're just sitting there. Why are you keeping them, you know? Why are they there when you can give them away to people who need them so that your clothes also can have room to breathe and not crease? So this process is about visiting that closet regularly to check or reflect on what still needs to be there and what needs to go. Our minds are the same. And ever since I decided to embark on this process of decluttering my mind, I've been doing it for some time now. And I've been decluttering my mind from thoughts, people, and environments that just don't serve me anymore, or that I've realized that never actually served me. They were just there, and I was just there, and there was nothing positive coming out of those relations or me being there, and so on and so forth. So I decided to declutter. So about me, I think I've never really liked clutter or crowded spaces. So even at home while growing up, I learned at a very age to pack away neatly my clothes, clean and remove any mess that I see, make sure that things are simply in their right places. And at this age, as this young woman that I am now, approaching 40, you find that when you come to my office desk, you'll find the desk is almost empty and very clean. And this is important for me to keep it that way. So I do it with intention to make sure that it is clean and as empty as possible. After using a document, I will either shred it or put it away in a drawer or file it or put it where it belongs, wherever it is. Because for me, having many documents just sitting there on your desk is not a sign of working hard. For me, it actually signals the opposite. It signals being disorganized. And we are not the same, but I'm just saying for myself, for me, it signals a person being disorganized because I, me, am not able to be productive. I'm not able to work, to think if there's all that clutter. I mean, what is a document dated 2021 doing on my desk now in 2024? It's just unnecessary mess that is there, and it disturbs the thinking, the working, and I'm just not able to be productive with all that mess around. So for me, even at home, it has to be as clean as possible for me to be in a good space mentally. So I try to clear my spaces. But this is just for my physical spaces, ne? It is just my physical spaces that I've mentioned now. So it is the opposite for my mental environments. I've been struggling mentally with clutter. So as much as I'm able to clean my physical environments, I'm not so much at a level where I want to be in terms of decluttering my mind. But I am on this path, on this journey, and I've started it and I'm doing it, and I'm seeing fruits. I'm seeing positive growth in myself. And I love that for me. It's slow, but it's calming. So mentally, I've struggled with clutter. And I'll give you examples. But one of them is self-doubt. So self-doubt will present itself in different ways. But for example, let me give an example. Earlier on in my career, I would be given opportunities, which are opportunities now, but I didn't recognize at that time as opportunities. And I just felt that they were honestly some kind of sabotage. For instance, I'd be requested to make presentations or to present to senior managers. And I would just think to myself that, no, not me. This is just too much. It's too big of a task for me. I'm not good enough. I can't do that. What are people going to think? What am I going to say when I get there? So when I make that presentation, instead of focusing on the presentation itself, I'd be worried and consumed about all these things in my head, whether I am speaking proper English, whether I am using the correct terminology, or whether I am articulating these words in a correct way, and on and so on and on and on, and which would then lead to even more mistakes. Even more mistakes. And following that, I would be embarrassed, obviously. I'd be embarrassed and try to avoid anyone who had attended that meeting. Oh, but hey, self-doubt. Self-doubt is brutal. Self-doubt makes you think and feel like you are not good enough. And no matter how much you try to fake the confidence, it lingers, you know? But what has helped with my growth is that I would get feedback. I got feedback from people who were in the meeting, and that feedback would remind me or tell me that, actually, baby girl, you were not bad. Actually, you were not bad at all. You actually did very well, especially considering that it is your first time. So you did well, and you gave it your best shot. And that was very important for me. I still appreciate feedback up to this day. And I get it. I get it all the time from my boss, doesn't like being called boss, but he is my boss. And those are things that help you to grow. Né? But I must also mention this one quick thing, just to say that I am highly favored and blessed. Oh, I am blessed with the most solid support system. These people in my life, they are affirming. They are so reassuring. And this has helped me to grow and to grow in my confidence, you know, and to be secure in myself. And I just want to say thank you and a big shout out to you, my support system. But one other thing, I've also realized over the years now that no one knows what they are doing when they are doing it for the first time. Yeah? No one knows because it's the first time they are doing it. So they learn as they go. And it is because of this reason that I want to encourage you at home now that, you know what, whatever it is, that opportunity that has presented itself to you, grab it and go and do it. You may not know what you are doing, but that's how we get to refer to people as experts in certain areas. They started by not knowing what they were doing, but they did it, and then with their mistakes, and then they did it again and improved and did it again and were better and did it again until it got to a point where now when they ascend on that stage and they start speaking, people will be saying, wow, you are good. It does not happen overnight. It takes work, effort, time. It takes intentionality. It is work that you must put in, and it will get you there at a point where you are called an expert. So go for it. Try it. Do it. We all don't know what we're doing, but we are doing it, and we become better in doing it. So that was just my 2 cents encouragement to you. I believe that self-doubt can stem from a variety of things. Né? Maybe it could be because of how you were raised and conditioned. And or sometimes how you were not raised. How you had to become a grown-up and grow up so quickly that you skipped certain stages in your life. And how maybe your confidence and self-esteem were then not properly nurtured. Because you didn't have people to nurture those things in you and to speak positively into your life. And this could be contributing factors. There may be other reasons, of course, but at some point you need to decide to remove those thoughts from your mind, thoughts that you're not good enough. Start by maybe looking for people who have stories that are similar to yours, and see how those people who have similar backgrounds got out of the trap of thinking that they were not good enough. Because at some point you will need to come out of that prison, and that's how you're going to see growth in your life. Sometimes clutter can also be people. So I gave the example of self-doubt. It is one example of a mental clutter. Another one can be people, actual human beings, né? And not just thoughts. I have also, just to give you a story, I have in the recent past allowed myself to be in situations continuously where I felt mistreated. I would be mistreated, and I would communicate this to say, I did not appreciate that. It has made me so uncomfortable. But I would be in that situation and allowed myself to be in the situation continuously for the sake of peace, for sake of family, because you don't want to be the person coming from outside and causing conflict in a family. So for the sake of that, you like, okay, I'll go, I'll sit there and be abused, and life will go on. And this person would then come back later and apologize. They always made it a point that they would apologize. But in their apology, they would always cite that they are the way they are because of their childhood traumas. Girl, please. Really. This is just an excuse, right? It is an excuse. It cannot be your childhood that makes you abuse other people continuously. It is a character problem. It is a character flaw. And it is a character that you must work on and deal with. But anyway, I'm not there. So this person would come back and say it is because of how they were raised and everything that they went through. This is how they came out as the person that they are today. But at some point, I'm trying to be very careful with my words here because I don't want to say much, but I want to say enough so that people are able to relate to what I'm trying to say. At some point, I had to go back to the closet, remember the closet, and check whether I still needed this relationship or whether it has reached its sell-by date. And, well, I decided that, yeah, it has expired and I needed to part ways with this person. I mean, for example, whenever I would be told that we are going to be visiting them, I would have to literally take time to prepare mentally. Because you have to prepare, you don't know the type of personality you are going to be meeting on that day, because they would come as different personalities. Today they are all lovey-dovey and well and good, but then sometimes they are the opposite, and it is draining, it is exhausting, it takes so much from a person. So I would have to prepare myself mentally until I told my family that, you know what, I can't do it anymore. I can't be in this person's presence. They can't be in my presence. I think I don't need them in my life. And I believe maybe they also don't need me in their lives. I don't know. But that is the situation I'm finding myself in. And what I did was to set a boundary then. And I removed this person completely from my life. Removed their contacts. Removed their pictures. And there were so many. Pictures were so many on my phone, but I had to remove messages, everything, and just do a deep spring cleaning. It was important for me to go through this process because I didn't want to be angry. I didn't want to hold grudges in my heart against this person. I wanted to clean completely and start again on a clean slate. And it required that I clean. And that way, I don't even think about this person anymore. I don't talk about them at all. There's nothing, they don't feature anywhere in my life because it is a chapter that I recognize has been closed. It's done and dusted. And we moved on. Life goes on. Now I had to go back to those thoughts, obviously, because I am talking about decluttering and I want to show you practical examples of how I was able to achieve that and how other clutters look like. So I cleaned and we moved on, and I cleaned and decluttered completely, and now they are completely out of my life. There's no talking about them. Even people around me know that our conversations don't include these people because they are not part of anything that we are doing together. So you need to be ready. You need to prepare your mind that it's going to be tough. It's going to be challenging, especially if these are people that may be family or close friends, you know. And you may find yourself having to cut ties or put boundaries because you don't want to be abused or feel mentally drained So for your mental health, they may have to go. And if it is another person deciding to remove me from their life, for example, I will completely understand. Actually, I also encourage it, because if there is anything that I'm doing to you continuously and I'm just not getting it and I'm hitting you all the time and you decide to remove me so that you have this clear and a peace of mind, I encourage it. Go for it. It will be painful on my side maybe, but I encourage it for the sake of, for your sake, to cut those ties and set those boundaries. It is important. I have shared now two of my personal stories of being in wrong spaces, around wrong people, or in negative environments, né? Without not going very deep, but I try to just share those stories. But before we can look at ways of dealing with this clutter in the mind, what does God say about the importance of protecting our minds and hearts from negative influences? I have few verses that we can look at that are assisting me to declutter. Proverbs 4:23, where God says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." For me, in short, this is about protecting your heart and mind from harmful influences, right? It is straightforward. And then go to Philippians 4, verse 8. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So for me, the verse encourages us to focus only on positive things, uplifting thoughts, rather than dwelling on negativity. So look for God in every situation. Look for the positive in any and every situation. And that's how you live your mind, your life, and that's how you make sure that your mind is not cluttered with wrong things and negativity that take life and drain you, take energy from you, you know. And the last one, which I like, and I think I apply this verse now since I started my decluttering process. I apply it almost everywhere. 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." So I use this to remind myself of the importance of surrounding myself with positive, life-giving people or life-giving environments, and always reminding myself that there are places that God doesn't want me to be at, and there are people that should not be in my space, and I should not be in their spaces. It is just that God has said it, ours is to obey. So now that we have looked at that, I just want to remind you that it's not going to be easy. It's easier said than done to say declutter, put boundaries, you know. It's easier said than done, but it is a process that is worthwhile, man. I encourage you to commit to it, that as much as challenging as it may be, it is worthwhile. And also, it's not gonna be done just once. You can't declutter once. It will depend on the clutter you may be dealing with currently. You may need to decide on the frequency of the exercise, of how many times you go through the process. So for me, what I did, I went through simple steps that I was able to apply in my life daily that could assist me to declutter. So I started by understanding and identifying my mental clutter. So this is about taking stock of my thoughts, look at the most common negative or self-critical thoughts that I may have, and what the sources are. what is contributing to these thoughts, and then I would write this down. So journaling is big for me. It is important because it assists me to observe thought patterns. What are the recurring worries, fears, or criticisms, you know? Also, I encourage you to include prayer in all steps of your decluttering process. Prayer is important also in identifying your mental clutter, because you need to ask God for clarity and wisdom to see and to discern. Another step, now that you know these thoughts, you start challenging them and reframing them. So you ask yourself questions like, are these thoughts even true? Are they helpful in any way? And then when you get the answers to those questions, you start reframing the thoughts by replacing them with the truth, what God is saying about you. For example, earlier I was talking about the presentations I would have to do. So you get feedback telling you that you actually did your best. You tried. The presentation was good. Now you need to reframe that negative thought with this feedback that is positive. Reframe it with what God is saying about you. That you are not bad, that you are actually good, and you are on the right path to personal growth. Very important. Another step is to set boundaries. People with people and places, you remove or you stop interacting or engaging in energy draining or with energy draining people or environments, as this contributes to mental clutter. Sometimes it could be you sensing some kind of energy, and you approach the person and ask, OTCC, did I do anything to offend you? I am sensing this energy. And they will often say, nope, there's nothing wrong. We are good. I am fine. You did nothing. But when you know that you know that you know that something is just off, but what do? If you have already to try to talk to the person and they are not forthcoming with what the situation is, the only thing left to do is to declutter. Because it is either you're going to be consumed by this and depressed, or I don't know, you know. So just declutter. Let them go. Continue to be civil, but just give them space if that is what seems to be something that they are needing in that at that time. So give them space, declutter, remove yourself from them, and give them the space. Also, you must remind yourself that you cannot keep people in your life who don't want to be kept. Né? Very important to always know that. You cannot make people love you the way you love them and you have loved them. You cannot make them support you the way you believe you have supported them. And I know it hurts. It hurts. It is painful when you feel let down. But you need to accept and understand that you can't make them to be you or to do things the way you do them. So it is okay. Declutter. I've shown you how I set my boundaries and how I've set boundaries with people who drain the energy. For you, maybe it may be different. You may start by not removing them completely, but maybe limiting the time you spend with these individuals. Or you may communicate your need for space if you are feeling like you need space. Or you may decide to avoid toxic environments and toxic people altogether. And before you get to labeling them toxic, look at what your role also was and why they are saying that, né? Why you are saying that, why you are saying they are toxic, and what you may have done for them to act the way they did. Sometimes you'll never get the answers, sometimes you'll never get the closure, but go through the process of self-reflecting to see your own mistakes in the relationship. Again, you must acknowledge always that it's going to be difficult depending on the relationship that you had. Sister, family, friendships, people you grew up with, you know, but talk to God again all the time about confronting issues with others with grace. Now, the next step is about practicing mindfulness and prayer. So mindfulness is just about slowing down, setting aside time to just sit alone quietly. I read somewhere where it says mindfulness is about learning to pay attention, living in the moment, trying to intentionally bring an open, accepting and discerning attention to everything you do or you say, accepting yourself every day, choosing yourself even when you've made mistakes, treating yourself the way you would treat a good friend, for example. It is about focusing on your breathing and trying not to respond or react to everything and everyone. Sometimes also letting things just be. And also reminding yourself that the battle is not yours, it's never yours. Prayer and meditation play a big role in decluttering. So use verses like Psalms 46, be still and know that I am God. This verse is about encouraging moments of stillness to connect with God and clear the mind. So you can give yourself these moments maybe in the morning when you wake up before you start with your day. You can do it at the end of your day in the evenings when you are done with everything. Or you can find these moments and breaks right through the day. Give yourself this break throughout the day where you go and give yourself space to be quiet, to just talk to God, to reflect on how your day is going, to look for the positive in your day. When a person is frustrating you, a colleague at work, going back to God to say, I don't want to react. Help me. How do I respond in this situation? What do I do? Things like that, they are very important, being mindful. Yeah? Another step is trusting God more, learning to trust God more, and trying your best to worry less. So often mental clutter comes from worry, obviously. And it is absolutely natural to worry, but don't worry forever. Release those worries to God. I journal, so I would write them down. It is important to write them down. Sometimes maybe when you can do a voice recording if you are not writing, but record your thoughts somewhere of what your worries are and surrender this to God. And also, the Bible says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So you're going to be worried. The problem is not going to go away, but we do worry. I want to give you an example. I worry a lot. Like I said in my first podcast, that it is difficult for me to surrender to the to what I don't know. So I will surrender to God to just be God and just have faith that things will go the right way. But it is very difficult because I like having control and I want to know how things are going to happen. I need to have an idea or a clear plan of how I am going to do certain things. So I worry a lot when I can't see what is happening. All I know is that I have to step, my way towards something, but it is not clear what that something is yet. I'm being obedient to God and it is scary. It is uncomfortable. It is something I worry about. That is one example. Another example is I worry a lot about whether or not I am a good mom, especially after having disciplined my kids. I would think, Uti, are you a good mom though? And then quickly, I would remind myself and apply that other step that I mentioned. Uti, reframe those thoughts. How are they helpful? And are they true? And I know they're not true. I know I am a good mom. I know I love my kids. I know I pray over them. I know I have given them the knowledge of Jesus, and I am still doing that. I know that I will protect them with my life. I know that I'm doing so well, and I will still have those moments of self-doubt and self-criticism. But I know I am a good mom. And also, I have to continuously remind myself that discipline is okay. How you discipline them, maybe that's a conversation to have. But to discipline them is what God wants, because they have to know from early on that with every action, there will either be a reward or a consequence. So they have to be disciplined when they did not do right, so that they know not to repeat it. So you always continuously in this space where you are worried and reminding yourself to trust in what God has said, trust in what God is saying, and give your worries to God. Give your worries to God, because they are not yours. And trusting what God is saying. But I think it is a process, and it is something that can be achieved. I am still in the process. I will not sit here and say I've achieved that. I'm in the process of still, it's a struggle, but it is a struggle that I am not going to stop trying. And I'm going to continue with until I get it right, until I am able to trust God completely with my life. So another step is creating positive mental habits. Habits can be anything, like affirmations. Affirmations are big and important for me. And affirmations, I don't just speak them. I like looking at myself in the mirror and reminding myself. So I will affirm myself of how beautiful I am, both physically, both my face and my mind. I'll remind myself of how much of a good heart I have and every beautiful thing that I've done. And I'll remind myself how hardworking I am. I'll remind myself of what God has said about my life and over my life. And I will speak it to this Zanele looking back at me. And because I have to speak to her while she's looking at me and hearing me and seeing me, it is affirmations. I like them. And then another one, it is practicing gratitude. That is one I think is obvious, but maybe not. So I don't know. It is practicing gratitude, always looking for something to be grateful for. You woke up, you're alive, you are healed, you got better. You have food, you have a job. You are able to spend time with your family. There's everything and so many things to be grateful for. So practice that. Look for the things to be grateful for daily. Find daily scriptures that uplift you. So I will go and read the Bible and find scriptures that will uplift me. So memorize the scriptures. Well, I'm not good with the actual numbers, you know. I'm not good with numbers, but I know the books in the Bible. So I will tell you where the scripture, which book the scripture is coming from. So I know where it is located, but I don't know the chapters. I don't know the verses. That is a weakness of mine that I've been practicing to try to get better at, but I'm just still there. It is a weakness of mine. People have weaknesses, they have strengths. That is my weakness. For example, you give me your number, I'll never know your phone number. Unless it is on my phone, I'm not gonna know your number, because I'm not good with numbers. And I know the Bible, I know the verses, I know the content of what the Bible is saying, but I will not be able to take you there exactly. I will have to do some work to search to see where the verse is in the Bible. So yeah, find the scriptures and memorize them and recite them, say them, meditate on them throughout the day. Maybe you don't have to read many. Maybe you can read one per day and just meditate on it. Think about it the whole day and what God was saying there, what it means and how you're able to apply it to your life practically, you know. That helps. It is a new habit that maybe if you didn't have, you can start practicing. So that when negative thoughts start to creep in, you immediately look for these verses. You immediately look for things to be grateful for. You immediately start affirming yourself. And I think you will be okay. Né? So I encourage you to go try that one. And then that was the last one for now. But I just want to say mental decluttering is a daily practice. And so you must expect that setbacks are part of the process and they will be there. So I still struggle, like I said, with many other things. I'm very critical. I criticize how I do things, and I will walk out there with my fake confidence. Sometimes I'm very confident, but there is some confidence that I put on that is really just fake confidence, because I am fighting in my head about this voice that tells me that I'm not good enough and I'm not doing it right. Whereas I want to believe that no, actually, I am very good at this. So it is a struggle, but we will continue to declutter. So another thing that I do, maybe the last one, it is to extend grace to myself, so that when I falter, I'm able to forgive myself. I mean, growth takes time and effort. So you need to give yourself grace. So I encourage you to give yourself grace. Decluttering the mind is a continual journey that requires commitment, reflection, patience, and spiritual grounding. So don't let the noise of the world or others' opinions take up that space in your mind. We all deserve a peaceful mental environment. We all deserve to be in clean environments. You know, peaceful environments for growth to flourish. So I am wishing you all the best in your journey of decluttering. And I hope I was able to assist, even if it's just one person, to start the process of decluttering. And God bless you and goodbye until we meet again next time. Thank you very much for listening.